hit on a very interesting thing, which is overcoming obstacles and moving on despite the obstacles.
Despite the obstacles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's and that's part of the task, because it seems like the world can wear you down, and I get worn down, and my tendency when that kind of things is happening is to want to give up. And sometimes even I do give up, and then I get mad at myself for having given up.
How much do you think of the tendency to give up comes from your own intelligent thought processes, or from like the power of past suggestions of, let's say, people giving you negative comments about yourself in the past, let's say?
Or myself giving myself negative comments. Yes, I think it's that conditioning that's been around forever in my life since I started perceiving things. Some of those things were encouraging and some of them weren't. And I've gotten to points where I start to even believe that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then there's even more encouragement to just give up. And giving up is sort of I want a relief from the battle. I'm tired of hearing these things or seeing these things that to me just seem insane, and I can't understand quite why people would continue doing something that is clearly insane, and then get tired of trying to keep going despite the fact that clearly there are insane people out there, many of them whom are in charge.
Who are in charge?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Probably most of them.
Yeah. The people who run things seem to be just loony-ass tunes to me.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. How do people who are insane gain the power that they gain? It's. I don't think it could be done unless they have like a sufficient number of people who actually are just as insane as they are.
You know, yeah.
To elevate them up to a position of power.
Well, people, I guess through wanting to get along, or maybe that's a whole nother topic, but people tend to just go with whatever's happening around them. Even if maybe if they really looked at what was happening, they would go, oh, that's crazy, I'm not going to do that. And we want to fit in and we want to belong. And so when the group says, yeah, this guy's the bee's knees, we're going to do what he thinks, then everybody in the group tends to go along with that, and there's this hesitancy to speak out and say, oh, but he forgot to put on his pants this morning, or you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. And then you and whoever makes comments like that dethrones the person who seems to be popular at the time.
In spite of the fact that that person may be very, quite insane. Quite insane.
Yeah.
And the person who wants to talk about the truth when it contradicts what the groupthink has been.
Yeah, groupthink.
Yeah.
Group mind.
Group mind.
Yeah.
Group mind is almost terrifying to me.
Yeah. Almost by definition, group mind has to be insane, because individual thinking, let's say, is rejectable in by the group mind. So it doesn't sound likely that if you have to compare individual thinking processes and group thinking processes, it seems like the odds are that the group thinking process will be irrational, you know.
Yes. Or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
yeah, and it tends to be kind of mean, and it's much more capable of ignoring truth.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it gains acceptability, legitimacy, quote unquote legitimacy, mm-hmm. all based on popular opinion. Popular could be two or more individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can create popular opinion.
Amongst themselves.
Yeah,
certainly.
Two or more.
Yes.
It's interesting because Christ made this statement. He said, the other way around, if you flip this over to the other side, Christ said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also. Uh-huh. Two or more, okay?
Two or more.
Yeah. I tend to like to add to what Christ said, that even one person who's thinking of Christ and thinking positively about Christ, Christ will be there also.
Yes.
But I think he said that for, like, again, the effect. Well, as, two or more. You know.
And as almost everything he said that I've ever looked into, he had multiple and deeper meanings behind that.
Yeah.
I think you're right about the even one.
He would say different things for different audiences, mm-hmm. Depending on how much he thought the audience could comprehend. Mm-hmm. Like his conversations with his disciples would be different than his conversation with the huge crowds that he spoke to.
Oh, very much.
Tremendously
very much.
Different. You know.
He gauged how much truth people could swallow.
Yeah.
And then he tried to couch it in terms that they could both understand and swallow. And in rejecting what, if you rejected what he said, then it, you know, in the stories that I've read, it makes it very clear that that person has made an error. It's
yes.
just an error. It's not a horrible... wants to kill his sister or anything. It's just he's made an error in
yeah.
judgment. And people who are this groupthink that we've been talking about,
yeah.
that has decided on some morality that is the popular idea of morality, when it's wrong, the person who stands up and says, that's just not right, or who stands up and speaks truth, is similar to Christ is crucified.
And, you know, I've heard that, let's say, right now, Hollywood, mm-hmm. I don't want to get into politics, but I've heard, though, that if anyone in Hollywood has a political opinion different than the mass Hollywood identity, they will not get a job.
And then that wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Uh-huh.
Because it's the civil war again. We've talked, the way you describe it is the civil war through history.
Yeah.
And it really is. It's about that. This group mind gets together and decides some way to be. And then once they've got their position, they defend it. Because they don't want to be knocked off of their high horse, right? That they're in charge.
Also, it would be... unacceptable to depart from the group think. It'd be unacceptable and maybe hazardous to depart from that. So they're not going to even want to like question the group conclusion, right?
Right, right.
That because that would be blasphemy.
And it singles that person out as against everybody else. And especially when we're unwilling to think about things. And part of the problem with a hero, we were talking about heroes uh-huh. earlier, is a hero becomes a hero by when he's tired of all that and he sees it happening again and again, and the people who are just followers and who will just go along with the group think forever. A hero is somebody who just keeps going anyway.
You know why? Unfortunately for the hero is one of the singletarians who actually wakes up.
Okay? Yes, yes.
You know, without permission.
I'd love to be a hero. I wouldn't say I'm a hero because I find myself wanting to go back to sleep. I just get so tired of seeing that over and over again, that same dynamic.
Sure.
That I just want to, I think people turn to drugs because of that. They turn to alcohol. They want to escape from that constant barrage of insanity.
Yeah. So can you imagine someone who's sane living in a world of like mass insanity? That would be miserable, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't think I have to imagine it at all. I think what happens is I start to wonder if I'm the nutty one.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite the other way around.
Yeah.
I think society is goofed up, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know if it's a society or not. I think they're goofed up, and straight thinking, you start to wonder if there's something wrong with you, because it seems like the masses just disagree with you. But if I ever follow any one of the items through to its logical conclusions, it's like, no, they're just denying the truth of the matter. And I can think of countless examples of that in our world today.
Yeah. So I'd like to introduce the term, like, mass hypnosis. Can 6 billion Chinamen be wrong? Yes,
yes.
6 billion Chinamen could be wrong.
And frequently are.
And could one Chinaman be right, even though he disagrees with 6 billion Chinamen?
Absolutely, he can.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with numbers. Like, it's not like majority rules. Reality is not political.
No, it's really not. But we get into that, and I think our ego tends to get involved in the political more often to prove that it exists. Because really, there's no arguments. I think written in our hearts, we know mm-hmm. the real truths of things. And as we grow, we either succumb to the pressure of the crowd and give up and become one of the crowd, or just go completely under and become unconscious. Or really, we become heroes. Because it's heroic to continue to wake up on a daily basis and go out into that world where all these nutty people are. They're just not willing to look at the truth.
It's, it undermines whatever they value, and they've been putting a lot of their resources into their decisions.
Right.
And so it's ego, but it also is potential loss to acknowledge being putting all those resources on the wrong horse, or
yes,
I mean it's
well, and I it's that schism of I'm giving up real ideals for security, right? I'll work for a boss who's somewhat immoral or somewhat not quite so right. Because I just want the paycheck. I don't want to have to worry about where my next meal is coming from. Or I'll work for a company that is somewhat dishonest. And by that, I'm condoning it. And I do that because I want to survive. And I think when we're younger, we do have higher ideals. And those ideals just keep getting washed down and burned down and melted away until
they succumb and give up.
Or they become a hero.
Yeah, one or the other. So it looks like right now, giving up is the more popular way to go right now.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say most people just give up.
Yeah, yeah. And they call it common sense. Giving up and being practical.
That is such a tragic label, yeah. Isn't it? We call it that. We call it common sense and being practical.
Yeah.
When in fact what it is the opposite. It's hateful to yourself and it's self-destructive. It's
definitely self-destructive.
And it's not practical, because the reward for giving in is you become that which you have despised.
You remember Frank Sinatra sang this song, I Did It My Way?
Yeah.
Remember that song?
Yeah, I remember.
So that makes it sound like somebody singing a song like that. Why would he pick a song like that? Because he has a reputation, I think, for not being like an independent, let's say, positive thinker. Like there's even some suspicion that he got to be famous and got his chance because of his connections, mm-hmm. you know, which were like kind of blackened kind of connections.
Right.
And there were better singers around at the time.
Sure, sure.
And then he sings the song, I Did It My Way. Okay.
Well, I guess I don't know it. I've never met him, so I can't tell you for sure.
Right.
But maybe he was one of the good guys. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'd like to know why he picked that song, make that song popular. Because I agree with you. You can't make a judgment of someone you've never met, but somehow there's an air about him of belonging to the underground kind of powers at the time, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And was he actually making a statement about, I don't care about what anybody else thinks, or was he glossing over the truth that the kind of Orwellian, give in, be like everybody else?
Yeah, but if he did it his way, and his way was to give in, then it's not such a heroic thing to do, you know. So we don't know the answer to that.
No. I wonder if we could ask him. No,
he's gone, but a lot of people knew him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Well, and if I do it my way, chances are, or my experience has been that it's really not very pleasant.
You mean your fate will not be a pleasant fate, you mean?
Well, no, not that necessarily, but when you're just out in the regular world and you see things, to point out truth to people who don't want to look at it or have given in is an affront to them. It offends them.
Oh, yeah.
And they lash out at you.
Yeah.
They don't want to know the truth.
You're not going to be a happy camper if you're a hero.
No.
Now, if you find a hero that's highly, like, recognized and highly idealized and idolized, mm-hmm. you have to be kind of have to wonder.
How did they... Yeah. Well, and how do you know? I really can't ever tell, I don't think, without talking to them myself.
Yeah, and you're not going to get a lot of chances to talk to them.
No.
So...
And they're lampooned, and people will do everything from trying to build themselves up by knocking that person down,
yeah,
to riding on that person's coattails just to get the kind of crumbs that drop from that person.
Yeah, sort of like false disciples, like Judas.
Yes.
Remember, Judas was a disciple of Christ, but he turned him in. Mm-hmm. So he was, you might say, riding on Christ's coattails.
Yes.
I don't know what motivated him to betray Christ. You know?
But isn't his character seem very familiar to you? He does to me.
Disloyalty abounds. It's abundant.
Yes.
Disloyalty.
Yeah.
After promising to be on this side and going along with a certain... element of society, and then turning their backs on that same element that they pledged allegiance to.
He did have the opportunity to sit and talk with this man that he betrayed.
Yeah,
and so maybe to keep on the same kind of talk that we're talking about now, maybe Judas had already given up before he ever even met Jesus. He had already given up.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't prepared to accept the truth, even when the truth came right up to him and shook his hand.
Right there, yeah. He's looking a gift horse right in the mouth there. He's got the greatest teacher he would have ever had a chance to ever learn from.
Yes.
And turns him in.
And the only thing I can really think of is that he had already given up. He'd already been defeated by the waves of constant mediocrity that seemed to pound on people of goodwill.
Yeah. So when he followed Christ, I wish I would know more about, like, why did he follow Christ if he was part of the other side, you know?
Well, because he thought Christ was going to win. He thought, wow, okay, this guy's going to be king. He thought Christ was going to be the king of the Jews, literally the king with the crown and a scepter and all that. He didn't understand. He was misinterpreting the very words that were coming out of Jesus' mouth.
Yeah.
And to love thy neighbor, he thought meant try to pilfer as much as you can get away with.
Yeah.
And
love him for what you can get out of him.
Yeah. And isn't that a lot? It's
You get more out of your neighbor with honey than with bitter herbs, you know. So love your neighbor with honey,
so you can get
more out of him.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of people still think that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of corporations that use publicists and advertising companies to be able to like manipulate the public mind, the group mind. Mm-hmm. So they make whatever their product is through like power of suggestion, they make their product seem like better than any other product.
And you need it.
And they put more money into advertising than they do in that actually quality.
Yeah, they sure do. And then people go out and buy it.
Yeah, because it looks so convincing. How could you know all these people on TV giving and participating in the commercials? Like, look what they have advertising automobiles. They have these slim chicks, you know, who are like gorgeous, like lying on top of the automobile, rolling around on top.
It implies that you get that with the car.
Yes. You get the car and you'll get that.
Yes, yes.
You have to wait a few weeks.
Oh, yeah. It's on back order right now.
Yeah. So the whole society is almost reeking with manipulation and hypnotic suggestion. The entire society.
We are. And how do we... What do you do? Do you combat that? Or do you just try to maintain a safe distance and observe it?
I think it's one of those things where you have to like be on one side or the other, because it's impossible. like Judas, he was not really on the side of Christ, and it was impossible for him to continue there because he really belonged to the rest of the world.
Right. One cannot serve God and mammon.
And then we talked about Judas. Not saying that they're in the same team.
I wonder if they would have been friends or enemies. And that's the real question, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to get into. That can you just punt in this civil war between truth and falsehood or sanity and insanity, popularity and unpopularity? Can you just punt and just drop out? So what I was going to say on that is I don't think you can just drop out.
I agree. I don't think you can. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually a choice for joining the bad guys. If you can label one side good and the other side bad, because both sides think the other side is bad.
Yeah, and if you don't do anything, you automatically are on one of those sides. I think you're on the bad side if you do nothing, especially if you have awakened. You know, while you're asleep, you're not so much responsible.
Yeah, you sort of get a free pass.
Yeah. He didn't know anything. He's ignorant. You know, and like Christ even said on the cross, he said, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing."
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So forgive them. He's talking to his Father. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But then those who did know what they're doing then have no way out. They have to like either stick with what they know, or they're on the other side, right?
Yes. But I would say I hope I can reserve the right to take a vacation from the fight every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of built in automatically by our unconscious, which checks us out every now and then, mm-hmm. and then we behave like we're in a zone, you know, and then we have to fight to get back into our consciousness. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we don't have to worry about checking out. It automatically happens.
Yeah. Happen if you like it or not.
Yeah. This is the way it is. It's built in breaks. And that reminds me of another thing Christ said, which is he said, he was asked, does his Father forgive for people for doing wrong? He said, "My Father forgives not seven times, but seven times 70 times," right?
And in my case, I'm going to need everyone.
Yeah. So it's comforting to know that, because there's so much training under the name of Christ that says, you're going to hell if you don't do the right thing.
Yes, and that's almost the opposite of what I get from reading his word.
Yeah.
It's almost the opposite. He's saying, at any time, if you want to turn to love, I will be here waiting for you.
Yeah, that's the whole principle of the prodigal son.
Yes.
The son went over and left the family that was so good to him and did all the wrong things. And the father had a lot of sons that were good sons. So, you know, so then after many years, the son comes back and is very, like, remorseful. Mm-hmm. He's been on heroin, he's been on, gambling, thievery, theft, and everything. And then he's at his last straw and doesn't have anywhere to go. And he says, I wonder if I can go back to my father and get a job washing dishes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just the most menial. I don't need to be treated like a son.
And I wonder if I can get back into just a little job somewhere, you know.
I remember a part in that where he was saying, I am lower than even the servants of my father's house.
Yeah.
And he really felt that way.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and in 12-step programs could understand that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He feels so beat.
And, you know, guilt and blame, and feeling such shame that they just give up.
Yes.
So he knocks on the door, and they say, somebody answers the door and says, who are you? And he says, I'm the son who left 10 years ago.
actually, in fact, the father notices him coming up the road.
Oh, yeah?
And before the son even realizes it, the father is so pleased and so happy.
Oh, is that okay?
That his son is coming back, that he runs down the road to greet him.
Is that what they describe?
Yes. The father is so excited that his lost child is coming home.
Yeah.
That he runs out to greet him.
And guess what happens then?
He slaughters the fatted calf.
Before the brothers see this going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what, you remember what, I think their position was, Dad, why are you welcoming him after all that he's done to you and the family name and everything, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's just what our society would say too, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, no, you're going to jail for life. Okay. You know, there's no forgiveness.
There's no key for the cell you're going in, boy.
Yeah. You're going away for a long time. Yeah, but I realize the error of my ways. I want to make amends. I want to do the right thing now. Well, you know, you're not going to get a chance, boy, to do the right thing now.
But what does he actually do? The father welcomes him with open arms.
And what does he say to his goody-goody sons then? Because they did the right thing all those years.
They did the right thing. I can't remember how he explained it to them. Do you remember how
it... He says, I've always valued you, you know, sons. He said, but now a son of mine that was lost is back. And it's not that he's more valuable than you, but I'm overjoyed that I have my lost son back.
Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with you guys.
Yeah. I don't love you less. Yeah. You know, I appreciate everything you've done. You didn't run away. I appreciate that. You didn't do the wrong things for 10 years. I appreciate that. But my son now is remorseful. The one that was lost is back. And he's the prodigal son, is back. So I'm overjoyed now, you know.
And in fact, everybody should have been a winner in that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember some Catholic education class, they were talking about that story, and they asked, which character would you be in that story?
Ah. Whoa. So most likely... every one of us most likely has been the prodigal son or daughter or whatever, even for a short time. Even it doesn't matter. Everyone has been the prodigal son for some period of time,
mm-hmm. And everyone has probably felt too that same agony of, my father is not going to accept me if I come back. Maybe he'll take me as a servant to one of his servants, if I really beg and grovel.
Yeah.
But that's not at all what really happened.
Right, right.
And then the symbology, of course, is that the father is God.
Yeah.
And we are all the prodigal son.
Yeah, all of us, yeah.
And All but we have to do is turn to him.
What's so ridiculous is how so many of us, having been prodigal sons, think we were the sons that never did anything wrong. That's so amazing. You know, oh, we've never done anything wrong. We've always been good and honest and God-loving and God-fearing, God-fearing and God-loving. And
what could we have ever done wrong? Who, me?
You know, he's the guy over there that you got to go capture there, you know. and he, you know. And look at, the Islamist terrorists. They are definitely in the right. They don't, throw their women out for sale. They have the women covered up and, you know, taken care of so that it cannot be a source of temptation. And they are the only pure people left on earth are people who have the women totally under control, you know. And all the other religions are false because they allow women to have their hair showing in public.
Mm-hmm. And much worse, oh yes.
Yeah. and they let women ride in cars with men they're not married to. And all these other religions are like the false religion. We are the true religion.
Yeah.
And then you've got other religions that maybe they're not into homicide, maybe, or suicide and homicide, but they actually don't kill their rival religions, but they actually believe that they've been misled and that they're wrong on the track and that their religion is the only true religion.
Right.
There's so many like that believe they are the only true religion.
Right.
And the others are sadly mistaken. You know?
Uh-huh. Those poor guys.
If they'd only let us save them, we could still save them, you know. But and then you go with the Islamists, they won't listen, they won't convert, we'll have to kill them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They won't convert, we'll have to exterminate the insects.
I don't know if that would hold up in court if you said, God told me to kill him.
Yeah.
And does that give me the authority to go ahead and do that? But I don't remember anywhere in the Bible where Jesus said, kill people.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't remember that.
Yeah.
And even in the Quran, I don't remember seeing anything like that.
Yeah, I've heard some people say they've read that in the Quran. I haven't seen it. But there are certain Islamists that we call terrorists who actually believe that they're supposed to exterminate all of us. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. And exterminate themselves while they're doing it because that makes them true heroes, right?
Right. And now, talk about insanity and groupthink. That's a hypnosis that is particularly insidious. That I would be willing to train a child to carry a bomb into a group of unsuspecting civilians.
Yeah, who didn't do anything at all. They might even be Muslims.
And thinking that that's going to further my cause to bring other people into the Muslim brotherhood? It's preposterous. It's baffling that it continues. And you read almost every day about another bomb going off in Baghdad or some Middle Eastern city.
Yeah. And they even have Islamist terrorists that are trying to exterminate other Muslims. Because they're not on the same wavelength.
Right.
Like the Shiites.
They think maybe they shouldn't be killing, and people, you don't believe in the same law of the Quran that I do, so I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
That's the solution to everything, is to kill you.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and if they don't mind killing Muslims, they certainly don't mind killing Christians, Jews, and Hindus. And
no, it seems like they place very little or no value on life. Except for their own, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And they actually are convinced that their creator, their God, wants them to go that route. Actually convinced of that. Their God, they believe, is not tolerant of differences of opinion. You know?
And isn't that the insanity that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That washes us over every day. I hear about things like this over and over. And it makes the hero tired.
Yeah. And then you take like things related to insanity that are not related to religion. They're still religious, like fanaticism. Let's say any individual who condemns another individual, you know, whether it's political, economic differences of opinion or whatever, and condemns another individual, whether they've studied the other individual's shoes or been in their shoes or not, just the act of condemning another individual is a form of insanity, because that means they have assumed the position of the power that metes out justice. And like Christ said this, he said, when Mary Magdalene was about to be stoned, you remember the rest of the story, right?
Oh yeah. He said, "Let ye who is without sin cast the first stone."
Luckily for Mary Magdalene, they were honest enough to like walk away at that point. Because there could have been a bunch of like fanatics who believe that they were pure, you know.
Right.
It's just amazing that she didn't
pure
get stoned.
That I'm going to throw a rock at her. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And he said the only person who can throw the stone at her would be a person who's pure. And then everyone was looking around. Well, who's that? And then he.
And it was only the presence of Jesus that kept them from stoning her anyway. I have to believe
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Because, you know, today, somebody said something like that, they'd stone her anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we lost any sense of shame? I mean, how do you get people to quit thinking that they're the center of the universe like that? How do you pull somebody who's submitted to this mass hypnosis?
You know which commandment I turn to for that one? One of the commands says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The only way that could be useful is if we know what the definition of the word "me" is, and the definition of the word "God." So let's say someone who's willing to condemn someone and punish them has assumed the role of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the "me" would be the true God. The true God that says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So I would say, anyone then who is convinced that they can condemn anyone is assuming the position of the other gods. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I'm just doing what God wants me to do. I'm condemning them for violating God's laws. You're the agent of justice, okay? remove your sheriff's badge here. You know, you have never been deputized. You know,
that's the first time we've ever met a deity.
Boy, there's so many deities there. Household deities, forest deities. Coastal deities, there's so many deities, and yet we got such a mess, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But I like that idea of, just as a general rule, do not condemn anyone. Condemn, whatever that then, so the word is condemnation, it looks like you're putting someone else down, but you're actually putting yourself up.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. And some people, that's the only way they know how to bring themselves up.
Right.
How else do you bring yourself up? By looking at the truth, by being truthful.
Yeah.
Look at it. It's right there in front of us all the time.
Yeah.
And all you can do is look at it. It's not up to me to make it or not make it or judge it one way or another. I can enjoy it. And frequently do, but I'm also dismayed by human behavior towards it. We seem like quite an insane species.
Insane species?
Yeah.
Yeah. so it's kind of unfortunate. Like, to become enlightened, because then you're in for a rough road. To become enlightened means you just now been excommunicated from humanity. Mm-hmm. If you become enlightened, you're out. You know who wrote that book, The Road Less Traveled?
Yeah.
The Road Less Traveled. I mean, it's lucky that anyone is on that road at all.
Yes. Know? I wish there were more.
Yeah. So the only way you know that you're on the right road is if no one else is on the road with you. Or an occasional traveler, occasionally. Yeah.
And to take a good sense from that. Not the I'm the odd man out sense.
Yeah.
And I remember we talked about it before about something. I was saying, gosh, I wonder if I'm crazy, because it seems like the whole world is upside down. And you said, no, I think you've got it backwards. I think the whole world is wrong.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's easy to doubt oneself because we're out of phase with the majority. Or
it sure seems like that.
Yeah.
It sure seems like that.
But that's one of the like neatest way to find out if you're on the right track is if you're alone.
Yeah, look around.
Boy, I'm in good shape. Nobody likes me, you know. When they start liking me, I have to start worrying, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, look what happened. All the people who followed Christ and became Christians, the few that were not fed to the lions, went on then to formulate what became the Christianity. Mm-hmm. And Christianity then became a political thing.